Tom Fortino, the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group, who you hear with Elise Glink Sunday mornings at 6:30, joins us in studio to talk a little bit about making sense of all of this stuff these days. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing very well today.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Terry Savage the other day. What's the number that you're paying the most attention to? It's just the most confounding of times. We hear good economic news, and then we're told that's not good. What are you paying attention
to? Yeah, you can really just get paralyzed by all the data that we're inundated with, and this week is going to be a big week, too, as far as data goes. But, you know, I think we've heard this. Jobs are really a big number, right? I mean, how many people are working, which means how many people are earning a wage, which means how many people can consume things. That certainly is a very important number. It's hard to say that there's one number that's the most important. But, I mean, if you think about inflation, which I know is an important number, you know, from 73 to 81, we had inflation of over 9% for 8 years running, 9 years. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable to think about it.
That was the average, or that was every year?
That was the average. It was over 12% when Reagan took office.
Inflation.
Inflation.
I do not remember that.
Yeah.
I had so little money then, it almost didn't. It almost didn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, that's me. But maybe that's the point. For some people, this it was a struggle to begin with. But keep going. So inflation has been a factor in our lives and not that long ago. Keep going.
Well, I'm just saying there's these. It certainly is impactful, and I don't want to diminish any of that. Again, there's a lot of things that are happening. I also think that over these next few months, you know, because jobs are a lagging indicator to a certain extent, right? So we're going to start to see where we go in these next few months as far as some of these other important indicators. And I don't know if inflation's peaked, but we'll see.
But if more people, as you just said, was over 500,000 jobs just created on the Friday numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means the more people will be earning money, right? And that has to then bode well for the economy in the next 6 months, or I don't know what the time horizon is for that, but isn't how can that be a negative?
Well, I hate to come back with, on the other hand, after I just said you can get paralyzed by the data, but there's a lot of other things, you know, that are coming into play as far as, you know, how many jobs. They said we just got back, and you're probably aware of this, John, I'm sure you've talked about it, we just got back to the number of jobs that we had pre-COVID. We just hit it. We're back to the number of jobs. The problem is we should be far past that, right? If we look over a two-year period with population growth, with the number of working people. So there's a lot of different things to look at here. I mean, yes, there's been some jobs growth, but some of those have been second jobs. You know, some of we've started to see the jobless claims, which, again, we're going to have another one this 30, over 250. And these are kind of, you know, this has been 4 weeks running. So that means more people claiming unemployment. We're going to see where this trend goes.
I wonder, you know, when we say, what are people most focused on? And the price of gas and food, I guess, would be foremost. But I think for our listeners as well, it's what's my chance of retiring or staying retired or living comfortably retired, because they've seen their portfolios go down. When do you think they will get back to the levels that they were at? They will get back to the levels they were at, unless you've drained your portfolio, unless you've sold everything or spent it all. But give me your best guess on that. So I asked you, when do you think people's portfolios, which I presume are at a valuation less than they were 2 years ago, when do you think on average people could say, I'll be back? What's your target date?
Well, of course, that's a real tough one. I mean, we can look at historical numbers. For example, you know, if you look since 2010, when the NASDAQ has gone down over 20%, you know, it's within a year, 100% of the time, it's been back to where it was. Will that happen this time? You know, I don't know. I mean, I think we have, again, there's some uncertainty. This year alone, at one point, we were down as far as 23% on the S&P, if you recall. There's been about a 10% rally over the last month. And so the question is, are we going to continue this march upwards? I guess we're going to see. I'm a little skeptical, but.
Well, I know everybody's been wondering if it's the bottom or the bounce, but it would seem to me like having gained back that much, it's more than a bounce. Something has to be happening here, right?
Well, you know, if you look back again at these historical, at history when things have happened, I think in 2008, 2009, after the, you know, the Great Recession, the there was 13 or so times the market rallied before it actually continued up.
Back and forth.
And so, you know, I'm not saying, again, we don't know. I guess if you're continuing to fund your portfolios, if you're still working, you know, this is okay because you're putting money in at these points of the market, and you know, eventually it's going to come up. I mean, I posed the question before, you know, when the market goes down, historically, does it come back? Yes. And when it comes back, does it go higher? Yes. So let's provide some perspective on this. It ultimately, to your point, John, it will ultimately come back. And so,
what do you think is going to help that the most?
What would help it the most?
Is it the Fed doing something? Is it employers doing something? What are you rooting for?
Well, you know, when you look at the policies that are going on right now, I always believe in the American spirit. I believe in the entrepreneurs. I believe in the companies. I think they're always doing everything to cut costs, to get profits to their shareholders. I believe in all of that. Now, to the extent that the fiscal policy, we talk about fiscal and monetary policy by the Fed, well, if they continue to raise interest rates, we'll see. I don't think they're, you know, I'm okay with rates going up a little bit here. I think they need to. We need to normalize some of this. And I think that's a good thing, ultimately. I'm not as big a fan on the fiscal side. I think some of the things that are going on right now from the standpoint of taxation or regulations and those, I'm struggling with some of those things. Again, I'm more of a free market guy.
You didn't like the bill that the Senate passed the other day?
No.
Because of the taxation of companies that make over $1 billion?
Well, the minimum tax rate, which, by the way, we all have an alternative minimum tax, but we may not know what that happens on the individual. But the other thing was share buybacks. Now they're talking about a 1% tax on share buybacks, which, that can be a good thing for the shareholder, especially, you know, when these companies are using their money to buy back shares. I think those can be good things. So that concerns me sometimes. And definitely the 87,000 IRS agents, I don't know about that one.
Well, that's how they're going to fund a lot of this. They said that there's, was it a some number in the trillions, or was it in the billions of dollars that the federal government doesn't capture because people aren't paying their appropriate taxes?
Mm-hmm.
So if you spend millions of dollars to fund that to capture billions of dollars, what's the problem there?
Well, I think to a certain extent, you know, some of this, when you go to audit people and even people that have done it, I've seen it happen. I know friends it's happened to. They've been perfectly fine. You know, 2 or 3 days pass, they've had to, you know, spend a lot of money, get their account involved, and the IRS basically says, well, you're clean. Don't worry about it. Everything's good. Well, I just wasted 2 or 3 days out of my life. You know, I paid all this money. And so some of this stuff may be problematic. They've said 70 to 80% of this, or maybe even more, and you've probably seen these numbers, are going to these audits and these whatever the IRS goes will be for, with people with incomes of $200,000 or less. Those are the target.
Well, because that's where a lot of the I think the cash economy exists well below $200,000. I don't like the idea of them, I'm going to use the word harassing, and I know that's the wrong word, but if somebody is doing your nails or your hair or your lawn or something, they're not making a lot of money. You pay them cash. I'll bet they're not claiming all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they should be. And yet I'm willing to be part of that crime. I don't know if this is a tax conversation we're having now, but I don't see those people as the problem. And yet I'll bet there's many dollars not getting taxed at that level.
I think, yes, to a certain extent, there's always going to be a certain amount of money, but tax revenues have gone up dramatically over the past year coming into the federal government. So, you know, I think I'm more of, it's more of a spending problem, not a revenue problem. So
spending problem.
The government.
As the government goes. Last thing, Tom, then the NASDAQ has fallen for the third straight day as chip stocks weigh on the market. There's the headline from CNBC.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thought of just about what's happening the last couple of days?
You mean as it relates to chips, the NASDAQ, or the overall?
For instance, or any other reason the market's moving the way it is?
Well, I mean, there's been, you know, the technology's had a good run over the past, not year to date, but it's really had a good run over the last month or so. It's been one of the best performing sectors. Maybe there's a little bit of pullback. Now, there has been some pressure on NVIDIA, for example, because of gaming chips. They're saying, you know, again, these at-home stocks, it's impacting them because they're involved in a lot of the graphics. But maybe there's opportunities here on some of these that you, again, you think that are good stocks that have pulled back.
If I could just go back in time and say, here's the one part of the economy that I wish we were better ready for. And that could include PPE, all kinds of technology, but it would be the creation of microchips.
Mm-hmm.
That touches everything. Mm-hmm. There are still cars built that aren't being sold because they don't have the chips in them to make the cars fully functional. I know that it's extraordinarily expensive to get a chip plant up and running.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Senate bill included subsidies for that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, if we could only turn back the clock on that. I mean, America needs to be better at that, don't you think?
I agree, and that goes along the lines of prescriptions. It goes along the lines of all types of supplies that we have, whether it's rare minerals, rare earth minerals. Again, all of these things we're relying on, and hopefully there's been a wake-up call from this.
Boy, I hope so, and yet we can't do anything about rare earth minerals. If we ain't got them, we ain't got them, right? I mean, if China has them or some country allied with China has them, then that's going to be more difficult for us, more expensive for mm-hmm. us. But you would think that if there's another pandemic or if some other country is suddenly hostile to the United States, we need to be in a better position to weather those storms.
I agree completely. I agree completely. It's, you know, I'd like to pick up more stuff that says made in the USA.
Last thing then, is there a sector of the market that you are liking right now? Is it chips? Is it cars? Is it consumer electronics? Where do you think the safe place is for money right now?
Well, I think you always have to be careful. You know, again, keep your core portfolio. Let's not make any big changes. You know, you can make some on the edges. You can make some adjustments. So if you do want to buy sectors, you want to buy some exchange-traded funds and be defensive. Certainly healthcare is a defensive sector that you can buy. There's only two that are up year to date. I think energy may be an opportunity because it's had some blowback here, XLEs or whatever ETF you want to use.
You haven't liked crypto all along. You probably still don't do it, right?
Well, now I'm not a big fan of crypto. No.
You're probably still not. I mean, that whole sector has taken a dive, right?
It has. You know, again, people are saying longer term that it might be something to own. You know, it just, we'll see what happens with it. Could it still continue to go up? Could people use it as an exchange? You can't really now because of the volatility, right? I can't, I would say. People do it, but.
Sure, it's a currency.
I mean, are you going to take crypto for your car?
But you do make an interesting point, don't you? That it's not going to go away either. This actually, even for somebody who's not a fan of that, as a currency anyway, it might not be terrible as an investment right now.
Correct. If you want to trade it, if you want to invest it, sure.
Okay. Tom Fortino talks like that Sunday mornings, too, with Elise Glink. And you can find him at alphawealthgroup.com, where he's the founder and principal. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.